Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday's edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. My name is Andy Warren and I'm joined by Mike Bacon and Ross Halls. And we've got a fair bit to talk about because we haven't done one of these like this for a little while for various reasons. We didn't bring you kind of a regular podcast last Thursday because we were busy in Manchester not winning, not winning the award that we were up there for, but we had a jolly nice time, and I'm sure we'll talk about that when Mark and Stu are back next week. And then on Monday, we had a chat with Mark Ashton, the Ipswich Town CEO, about all kinds of things, which you can go back and listen to now. There's plenty of interest in there, but as a result, we haven't brought you a podcast like this for a little while. So we're going to do one today on the back of an exit from the Papa John's Trophy, sadly. Before we also look ahead to the weekend's FA Cup clash with Buxton at Portman Road, we'll bring you a good chat with Buxton assistant manager and former Ipswich midfielder Tommy Miller as part of that later on in this podcast. But there was also a pretty decent victory over Exeter in there to discuss as well. So Mike and Ross, let's chat.
I couldn't agree more. Let's chat. What should we chat about? Let's start with that Exeter game, Andrew. I'm going to call you Andrew when we get on the more serious points, which this is a serious point, Andrew. And I would like to say I didn't go to Exeter because I was still recovering from Manchester, but more on that later. Well, not on this pod, not on another one. But you were there, Andrew. I liked that Exeter before. I was slightly concerned going to the Exeter match, to be perfectly honest. I don't know why. I think it's because I saw them play Plymouth. I thought they played quite well against Plymouth. I thought they played very well. But they were leading twice, and I was a bit worried about. But, wow, that was quite competent and confident, wasn't it, Andy?
Yeah. Andrew, please. Yeah, it was. It's been a bit of a roller coaster of Ipswich emotions and performances, hasn't it, over the last few days. Exeter, we'll talk about briefly now, was just characterised by comfort and control and dominance and being clinical. And then if you kind of flash forward to the second half of last night's game in the Papa John's Trophy, 2-0 loss to Portsmouth, it was kind of anything but that, wasn't it? Obviously, there are reasons for that. But yeah, it's been a funny few days for Ipswich Town, but ultimately, the most important thing was getting that win at Exeter, wasn't it? And we're sitting here on Wednesday and they've got three more points in the bag in League One and out of the Papa John's Trophy. But all of that kind of feeds into making sure that this League One promotion pushes everything that it needs to be.
I think the thing is that if you flipped it the other way around and said they lost Exeter but beat Portsmouth, that wouldn't be satisfied. We wouldn't be particularly happy about that. We might be a little bit, but that would feel that if we'd lost Exeter. But I think the word you're looking for that second half performance against Portsmouth is frenetic. It's a word I used in my report, which I couldn't spell. And I had to Google frenetic to see how to spell it, which I spelled it correctly, thankfully. Ross, you'll be pleased to know. And it was fun. We're dotting about from Exeter to Portsmouth here. But you're right, Andy. It's been a strange few days. Am I glad we're out of the Papa John's? I think on reflection, I probably am. I don't know why. I suppose seeing Harness limp off didn't really fill me with much joy that we need any more fixtures at the moment. Did I want to go to Wembley? Yes, I did want to go to Wembley. Would I rather get promoted? Yes, rather get promoted. It's a weird feeling, Roscoe, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a crazy few days, you know, travelling to Exeter, Devon, that's a long way to go. And, you know, you don't ever want to go there and not play well. And the boys played well, you know, 2-0 win live on Sky and, you know, an early kickoff, and then going into the Papa John's Trophy game. Yeah, I think, once again, I was pleased with the strength of the squad, because we go in these competitions and we always think, oh, are they going to drop players? And of course, we're stretched now. The squad is stretched. I thought there could be more maybe kids played, but McKenna went strong. Sam Morsey started. Pat McDonald's trophy, if you ask me, do I care about it? To an extent, I do, because there's a prize to go to Wembley for the fourth year in a row in this competition. We've knocked out early doors. You know, we were three wins away, weren't we, to go to Wembley, and we're knocked out in the last 32. So disappointing, but as we all know, priority is promotion. We don't want to be in League One for five seasons, do we?
Well, I think everybody would has the perspective that you want, I think, after this defeat. But if you ask me if I'm glad they're out of it, absolutely not. I'm not glad that they're out of it. Do I think it's a bad thing that they're out of it? No. And that's a bit of a funny place to be, because I am disappointed they're out of it, because the prospect of Ipswich at Wembley was really real in that competition, I think, particularly given the way that they started last night's game. And we'll get onto that in a minute. But is it a bad thing that they're out of it? Not really. I know that both of those things are a little bit contradictory, but they're not, I don't think. Because I can see where the arguments are. Look, I think Kieran McKenna was bringing up the subject of a free midweek now they've got between games with Peterborough and Wickham. And when you hear those two teams and the fact that Town will have a free midweek going into that for two big League One games, that is a good thing, isn't it?
Kieran was trying in the press conference, wasn't he, Andy, to sort of try and play down, try and play up the fact he was quite disappointed, but I half sort of read his face that he, you know, for the fans and et cetera, he turned up and wanted, of course he's disappointed, but overall, yeah, you're right, he did mention that Peterborough, he immediately knew where the next fixture would have been, which is, I thought was quite impressive from the older, to know fixture's going to slot in. And you're right, Peterborough and Wickham with a Papa John's trophy match in between, what earth would you do? Would you play Morsey then? You know, yeah. So you're right. I'm such mixed feelings.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because like he also after the game was. We haven't talked about the nuts and bolts of the game yet, but skipping to kind of after the game, he's talking about how the group stage was useful to him because it allowed him to give players game time when the squad was full and congested and players needed minutes. So I think it's. I get the impression they kind of look at this tournament as what can it do for us? What can it do for us? What rather than a where it can get us? And he also said that he feels like it's probably the right time to have bowed out of it. And I can certainly see that argument definitely.
Where would you be, Ross?
I feel, you know, a lot of fans have already said about, you know, we've had injuries in this competition, haven't we? You know, Luko been long term, now Harness. But you know, you could expect injuries at any game, you know, any competition. You know, losing against the Pompey side, you know, we've shown we can beat them. They had a mixed team, didn't they? And, you know, Danny Cowley, of course, who would have loved that win, I'm sure he would have, to knock us out. But then it's a distraction maybe for them, Pompey, but they're not, you know, in our sphere in terms of the top three. But I'm with Andy. I thought of you, Andy, by the way. Thought of you when we got knocked out. I looked up at the press box and went, he's up there writing his report, writing whatever, and thinking, another year out of this competition, no pizza on the show again.
Hopefully it's more than just another year out of this competition. Hopefully that's it. And the hope is from this point that they never kick another ball in the Papa John's or whatever it's going to be called. Whatever it's going to be called next year, because the goal is the championship, and that's where they want to be. And if you're in the championship, you don't have to play in this unless you start getting to the level where you're entering an under 21 team into it. Which ultimately, actually, the next time Ipswich kick a ball in it, hopefully it is an under 21 team, because that will prove that they've gone some way there. But what about the game itself, Mike? It was another odd one, because one of the Portsmouth reporters came up to me at half-time and described it as a 0-0 battering. But Ipswich were 1-0 down at half-time of a half that they absolutely dominated for long spells of it.
It was bizarre, wasn't it? Yeah, we're 1-0 down at half-time and not really working out how. I mean, the couple of chances they had in the first 20 minutes, Greg Lee must have been 5 yards out with a free header with that. That was a beautiful, was it Morsey, I think, floated across him, was it? It was a beautiful to back to. I thought Greg Lee did very well, actually. I mean, bear in mind that guy hasn't played since, was it September? So he hasn't played for a couple of months. I thought he did really well. I mean, and that was, what an opportunity that was after only, what, 2 minutes? I mean, I'd hardly put down a cup of coffee to start writing my, you know, my first few words. And there's Greg Young. I think, gosh, I'm going to have to put goal straight away. Because it looked all ends up, he just had to score. And then, Kamara had a chance as well with another header. Again, that was about 5 yards out as well, these two. I mean, these are two wonderful chances. They weren't shots from 25 yards. I mean, these were great chances. And if one of those had gone in, I reckon Ipswich would have won, to be honest. I'll say that now. I think if one of those had gone in, both had gone in, we certainly would have. But even if one had gone in, I think Town would have gone on to win that game. They played some nice football at times. They looked okay. They're knocking it about. They're stretched it from one side of the pitch to the other. Everything looked quite okay, didn't it?
And that, like Ross said earlier, I think that was because of the strength of the team. If you look through the spine of it, they went back to the back three. So that's that little bit more kind of, I guess, more solid with Wolfenden, Keogh and Edmondson, three very much first team caliber centre-backs. Then Morsi, as Ross has already said, that his first trophy minutes of the season in midfield, and any midfield that's got Sam Morsi in it is going to be very, very good. I thought he was immaculate again for the first 45 minutes at least of that game, alongside Cameron Humphreys, who had another good game despite having his name on the back of his shirt spelt wrong. Anybody notice that?
No, I didn't, Andy. Did you notice it, Ross?
No, I didn't, no.
Yeah, the second H was left out. So whoever gets hold of that is a collector's item from such a big night in Ipswich Town's history. But that's a solid spine of the team, and it allowed them to look solid, dominate it for long spells of it. But once they conceded, and maybe we'll talk about the goal they conceded now, it was pretty horrible one, really. But once they conceded, did you ever really feel there was going to be a way to score a goal in this game? Because it didn't feel like that to me.
I think when Harness went off, we lost a little bit. I mean, I don't know what minute he went off. It was about half an hour, 25 minutes.
25.
Yeah, I think that knocked the stuffing a little bit, because he'd started quite brightly, Harness. He'd been sort of, he buzzed. Well, the whole team started brightly, but he'd been buzzing around quite nicely. And you're right, Andy. Did after that point, did we really create any? I mean, we can go right to the end of the game and talk about the Burns penalty, but we can say that a bit later. But I mean, you know, did we really batter them particularly after that? Not particularly, did we? Had a lot of possession, but not a lot of clear-cut chances.
Yeah, I didn't feel we were going to get back into the game. And Pompey, they knew their job. You know, I'm sure Cowley at half-time went, let's just, you know, keep this lead. If we get a goal, that'll be a bonus, a second goal. But just, yeah, there was no one out there that I felt, they're going to have a moment here. You know, Cameron Humphreys, I think, was probably player of the match for us. But we had a really good game once again. And then, as you mentioned earlier, Greg Lee, his first game back, he played about an hour, I think, didn't he? And I thought he had a good game. But yeah, I just didn't see. I think the only time I thought we were going to score is maybe from a set piece, maybe. Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, chances that way for us. But yeah, just one of those games where we just needed somebody. Like when Wes Burns came on, we needed him to, you know, sort of show some magic. But he was a bit wasteful with his chances as well and his crosses. But yeah, just, yeah, disappointing game all round.
I think any game where you end up with a centre back up front, which Cameron Burgess was at the end, that's never a great sign of how a night's gone. I feel sorry for Caden Jackson in many ways, because he always puts the effort in, but he's the kind of player that he has to be kind of used and fed in a certain way. And Ipswich weren't able to do that last night. They couldn't get him in behind. They couldn't get him running. I think there's definitely a reason to suggest that actually he's a better option as a wide player for Ipswich these days. But looking at Town, we'll talk about the injuries in a minute because that's the big takeaway from this. But looking at Town, they looked set up to try and do what they did and come out fast and try and win this game from the start. Whereas Portsmouth looked slightly different. Their bench was packed with like senior players. They brought on Raggett and Karoma and their main man up top, Colby Bishop. In the second half, they looked like they were more prepared to go for it from the bench, almost. Like Ipswich were happy to go with what they went with, although it actually sounds like McKenna, that was a bit grudging from McKenna's point of view. They went with a stronger team than they maybe wanted to because of the absences. So I think Portsmouth probably wanted to progress in this competition more, and ultimately they have.
I think you're absolutely spot on, Andy. If Ipswich had won, they'd have taken it, would have moved on to the next round of the Papa John's and looked forward to it. But I really got the impression from Kieran McCann, look, okay, we're disappointed for the fans who have paid their money to come here. We want to entertain. And Ipswich went for it. Hey, come on, Ipswich didn't not go for it. They didn't stick a load of under 21s out and just totally disinterested. They went for it. And I think you're right. They went for it from the start and hoped to get a lead. But the fact it didn't pan out, I've seen one or two people sort of say, well, we, at the end of the day, we could, don't keep saying you can't have this, you can either have Wembley or you can have promotion. You can't have both. Well, you can, of course. And I think Ipswich would have moved on quite happily, but I don't think they're crying too many tears about being knocked out of it, to be honest. That's the feeling I got. Not that everyone was giving it their all, but the fact just didn't come off. Well, it didn't come off.
Mm-hmm. Well, what they maybe are crying tears about is something that could affect the promotion bid, and that is injuries. Obviously, Marcus Harness, the main one, helped off the pitch by two medical staff and all the way back to the changing room by two medical staff with a knee problem picked up at the collision midway through the first half. And Kieran McKenna's saying that's not looking great at first prognosis, which that isn't a great sign, is it? That's not great to hear, because that inevitably will mean some time out for him at a time where Sonny Aluko, as you've said already, Ross is already out with an injury suffered in this competition, and Tyrese John-Jules is out for an extended period as well. And that's just in attacking areas. There's Lee Evans, Dom Ball in there as well. So what does that mean for Town, do you think, Ross? That if he's out for an extended period, that's a bit of a blow.
Yeah, another big blow. And, he had a great game, didn't he, on Saturday, scoring the second goal. Of course, assist the first goal. Some people already said, oh, that's why you shouldn't be playing these sort of players in these competitions, because, yeah, you risking with injuries, but you just never know when you go into a game. But, yeah, I was happy, walked off the pitch. At first, I think, oh, maybe it's not as serious. But when when he's down for that long, you just think, oh, here we go. I know he's been up and down his Town career so far, Harness. I think, he's had a few good performances, some, not so good in terms of some of his loose passes. But it's another, it's a position where we were, stacked in for a while, weren't we? But now, Harness, John Jules recently as well. I know Kamara's come back. He played on Tuesday night as his first start went up for Town, but he still need to get full up in speed. But yeah, it's another player that, who is our regular starter. Harness has been playing pretty much week in, week out, and to lose him, and we've still got a good month until the January transfer window, so players are going to have to really step up. But yeah, it's disappointing to see him go off, and wish him all the best.
Big one for Kyle Edwards, I think. I don't think he'd have been playing if Edwards hadn't been suspended for this game. But Edwards, with every one of these injuries, Edwards is getting that bit closer and closer to having to be a regular starter, which is probably a good thing for him, but not so much for Ipswich, losing that depth, Mike. But there is at least still Kyle Edwards, Connor Chaplin, Wes Burns. That's a three behind a striker that's pretty good. It's just the depth beyond that that's going.
Well, it's opportunity. It's opportunity knocks now, isn't it, Andy? Which, of course, was a television programme which you won't remember from many years ago. Well, you might do, but you'd... No, opportunity knocks now, doesn't it, for... You don't remember it, no. Look, it's Ipswich have got a strong squad and it's being tested to the limits. You've still, however, got a strong starting 11. You've still got a strong starting 11. You've just now lost that depth on... You're going to lose that depth on the bench, probably. That's what's going to happen. But it's for likes that Freddie Ladapo stepped up recently. Edwards has been having some good meat matches recently. Wes Burns, we know, is very capable. So is Connor Chaplin. It's just that lack of depth now if something happens to them. They've got this, those four in particular, going to be carrying a lot of weight on their shoulders for the next two or three weeks, I would suggest, up to the transfer window in January, which I would suspect Ipswich are going to be quite lively in now, even more so with knocks and bangs and this stuff they weren't going to be in the first place. So, yeah, you've still got a quality starting 11, so there's no need to panic. The 11 that starts most Ipswich Town games is a strong 11 for that league. It's just that we've always been looking at the bench, haven't we, and going, wow, you know, look at that bench. And it's not quite going to be the same.
There's a slight, another slight worry over Freddie Ladapo as well, who was on the bench last night, but wasn't ultimately an option for Kieran McKenna, because just running up and down the touchline during the game, he did something to his calf, and they didn't want to risk it. I think it was just a precaution at that at that point. But having already lost Marcus Harness in the game, you don't then throw somebody on who's got a calf problem. There was some slightly better news on Janoi Dinassian, Connor Chaplin, and Leif Davis. Leif Davis notably actually came off in the Exeter game with injury. All three of them picked up knocks in that game. None were involved against Pompey, but they're all okay. They're all fine. So losing Leif Davis would have been a big one as well, even if Greg Lee is back in the picture. And you're right, Mike, he did look good. He didn't look like a man who'd had a couple of months out with a fracture in his leg, did he? I think it's the exact same player that we kind of saw Ipswich lose in September, has come back at the first time of asking, which is a really big plus. But that, Panichi Kamara still is getting up to speed in there, isn't he? He lost some balls last night, the technical side of it, kind of in that upper third, top third of the pitch, a bit lacking, I thought.
Yeah, I think he's still a little way away, isn't he, Andy? You know, not that sharpness of the quick movement, quick ball, but he's very enthusiastic, gets hold of the ball, he obviously works hard, but yeah, a little bit of quality, just getting up to speed, really, as you say. You can't underestimate being out of the game for so long. Well, any level of football, you know, just be chucked back in. That's why I think Greg Lee did so well, because he did look as though he hadn't been away. I mean, I know he played the minutes he played, but you know, I remember back in pre-season at Needham Market when we first saw Greg Lee, he thought, oh, that lad looks a great player. And he's, you know, there's the same one again. Here we are heading towards December after he's had quite a layoff, and he looks that sort of player. So that's a positive. Yeah. Kamara, there's a player there, isn't there? Of course there is. But as you say, he's got to get up to speed. I don't know if quite they want to play him as long as they did last night, but needs must at the moment, aren't they? And they've got Buxton on Sunday, which we'll talk about later on. So we'll see.
He's a depth player, Lee, isn't he? He was supreme depth. Obviously, Davis has been brought in to be the starting left back there, but proper depth. And Lee is, I think Greg Lee is actually the perfect, if you wanted to embody Ipswich's strength in depth in one player, I think Greg Lee would have, back in August, Greg Lee would have been that man. Not many teams in League One have two serious left backs, do they? Mm. Ipswich do, and they do again now, which is really big. There's still Ghassan Ahadmé to come back into this mix, of course. He was cup tied last night and will likely play against Buxton at the weekend. But every time one of these players go down, Ross, we say they can't afford any more. But still... Still, they keep coming.
Yeah, and Mike, you said a perfect word. That's the one word I was trying to think of when I last spoke, was depth. You know, we used to look at our bench, go, wow, that's a League One bench. Now it's like, oh, he's getting a bit, you know, we're not panicking just yet. But you're like, think one more, two more injuries. You're like, oh, here we go. So we are going to be filling that bench with kids. And of course, there's always going to be their little violins from League One clubs, you know, thinking, you know, you guys are going to be strengthening in January. But you know, if they keep stacking up, you're like, oh, who's going to come in? You know, pray Ladapo's fine and he'll be fine. But once again, that was an area we were struggling for a little while. Like, we had no strikers because, you know, they're dropping like flies, which is always the phrase. But yeah, any a few more, you're like, oh, you know, you're worried. But I think the only position currently that's safe is defensively. You know, we've got that is solid. For his famous last words, hopefully I'm not jinxed it. Sorry, everybody. But yeah. Please no more, because we're doing all right with injuries for the first period of the season. We're like, oh, here we go, we're a new town, no injuries, but now an injury curse is struck, and it's like every week we're like, got an update, yeah, he's out, he's suffered this, blah blah blah. But yeah, it's part of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, a sad part of the game, but it certainly is. Mike, you've already said it. Next up is the FA Cup with Buxton. We'll have a chat about that in a minute, but we're going to take a little break from this chat right now, and we'll. Unless anybody's got anything else they want to add about the Papa John's Trophy. Some final words for the Papa John's Trophy. This may well be the last time we ever talk about it on the podcast. Any final words as it's lowered, hopefully, into the ground and buried?
Just the lack of pizzas, really. That's all I want to say.
I was going to go deep, but I've decided not to. I don't think it's the right place, so we can leave that for another day. But I was going to get deep about Sutton, but I don't want to go there.
Don't, Ross. Don't yeah. do it. No, don't do it.
Okay, that has filled me with questions that I'm going to require answers to at some point. But maybe we'll go deep with you another day, Ross. Let us know if you want to go deep. Okay.
Are you all right, Ross?
Yeah, it is. It was about two tonight. So, you know, so yeah, all good though. Okay,
if you want to have a chat after the pod, me and Andy are here. You know that, don't you?
Yeah. I also want to give a shout out to a listener who's at the game though, Nikolai from New York. I think you all must have met him as well on Tuesday night, but he's a keen listener. He's over this week, so just a big shout out to him. But that's not the deep thing. That wasn't the deep thing. But it was just nice to meet him. But there was something else I was going to mention. But off pod, we can chat about it.
You are all right, Ross, aren't you? I mean,
I'm fine. Just no Wembley, you know, unfortunately. But
don't start unloading all your problems on me and Andy. We've got enough problems as it is, haven't we, Andrew?
We have, but don't bottle them up either.
If
there's something you need to get out, just get it out, whether it's about the Papa John's trophy or anything else.
Anything.
Just,
camera lens or anything you want to talk about, or you know, here.
Sounds good.
That's good.
Oh, this podcast is nonsense, isn't it? anyway, before we talk about Buxton, we'll pause this chat slightly for half an hour or so, and I'm gonna chuck in a chat that I've had with Tommy Miller, former Ipswich midfielder, who's now the assistant manager of Buxton, and he's bringing his team to Portman Road on Sunday at 5 p.m. on Sunday. 5 p.m. on Sunday. That's one for the ridiculous kickoff time. But we'll cross over to Tommy now, who's going to talk about Buxton, how he's ended up there coaching, what he wants to do in management, how the team are looking forward to this visit to Portman Road, and his own thoughts on returning to his former club on the touchline. But we'll be back to talk about the Buxton game after that. Okay, here with former Ipswich Town midfielder Tommy Miller. Tommy, it's always good to talk to you. You're obviously a brilliant player for Ipswich that people remember really, really fondly. But this week, I don't really know how to feel about this chat with you now, because you're the opposition this week. This isn't how we usually speak. The assistant manager at Buxton, and you're coming to Portman Road on Sunday. I bet you weren't expecting that this season, were you?
Definitely not. You know, when I joined Buxton in the summer, obviously Ipswich Town in the FA Cup was a million miles away from me, thought. And as we sort of progressed through the qualifying rounds, I would have liked them in the previous round. We got Merthyr at home. It was a tricky game. You know, we were the favourites, but we sort of stuttered and got through and got to the next round. And then when the draw was made, we were obviously wanting a big one. We were wanting either Derby, Sheffield Wednesday or Ipswich. And obviously to get Ipswich for a personal point of view as well was fantastic.
Yeah, was that the one that you were sort of desperately pulling for in both draws? I guess the rest of your squad might have fancied Sheffield Wednesday Derby, but for you, was it Ipswich all the way?
Yeah, definitely Ipswich. I was saying to the goalkeeper coach in the previous round, I said, I hope we get Ipswich. And he said, well, you never know. And then obviously when it was pulled out and we got them, it was fantastic. I mean, not just for myself, but also for the club as well. You know, as a whole, it's a great draw for the club.
Yeah, definitely. It's one I think people are looking forward to. Before we kind of get into talking in depth about this game and what you might expect, what Ipswich might expect, how are you? How's things going? I know you were at Portman Road recently, weren't you? Was it the Derby game you came down to
watch?
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was the Friday night. I hadn't been back since 2009, I think it was, when I left. So I was invited down over the years, and obviously haven't been able to get down because of football, being involved on a weekend with my teams, whether that was Halifax or Spennymoor Town. So they offered us to come down on the Friday night, and Buxton were playing at Brackley the next day. So I thought I can catch that game on the way back up. So it was good, you know, it was good to see some faces that are still there from when I was there. You know, Pat Cobbold, unbelievable person, unbelievable lady. Sally, who works at the training ground, you know, so there's still a few faces there. And obviously it was a good catch up with a few ex-players as well, with the opening of George Burley's bar. So no, I really enjoyed me night, and obviously the team won, which was a fantastic night for Ipswich.
Yeah, that was a really good night for the club, I think, kind of showcasing the progress that they've made sort of over the years. I know you've done a bit of kind of co-commentary, haven't you, with Radio Suffolk over the years, and you've probably in that time seen some of the bad side of Ipswich Town over the last few years. You've probably not caught them at their best when you've been doing that, but it's a bit different now. It's all going in the right direction.
Yeah, there's a feel-good factor. You know, I think obviously last season with Paul Cook, he brought a lot of players in, and it didn't quite gel. But I think what you'll find now is same sort of players, really, with a few additions along the way. And Kieran McKenna's certainly got them playing the right way. You know, they've got a real identity to how they perform. They're getting the results as well, which obviously helps. So he's doing a fantastic job, and hopefully this can be the season where they can get out of League One and get back into the Championship.
Yeah, I hope so. That's long overdue. Second in League One at the moment. So how did your boys, how did your players respond when that draw was pulled out? Were you watching it together or anything? Or were you all kind of separate and then on WhatsApp groups and things like that? What was the reaction when this tie came out for you?
Yeah, I mean, we were separate. You know, we're a part-time club. So obviously we train Tuesday night and Thursday night. So we're all separate. But the messages were flying around on the WhatsApp groups, and obviously delighted. You know, it's a fantastic sort of experience for these lads. Some of them have never played at that level, or won't have played at a ground of that stature and of that history. So they're looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be a memorable day, whatever the outcome. Great experience for the families as well. You know, girlfriends, wives, kids, and the supporters and the whole club in general. So it's a real good draw, and we're looking forward to it.
Have they been talking about it a lot, that the players, since the draw came out? Or you've obviously had plenty of games in that time to deal with as well.
Yeah, I think judging by our last few results, I think the minds have been on that game, this game, because the last few results haven't gone according to plan and have been disappointing. But I think they have certainly had one eye on Ipswich Town, and they're really looking forward to the game. So we hope we can go there and give ourselves a bit of justice. You know, we'll go there and hopefully put a performance in. We know it's going to be very tough. There's no doubt about that. But we hope we go there when we can give it our lot.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you've got a fair few fans coming down as well, despite the kickoff time, which is one of the most awkward kickoff times you could probably have, isn't it? It sounds like you've got a fair few coming down.
Yeah, it's not ideal. You know, 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, I think everyone would have much preferred the Saturday, but obviously it's going to be on some sort of TV, which I think benefits both clubs in terms of finances. And I think once the supporters sort of got over that little bit of disappointment, it soon switched to the Sunday, and it's how we can get down and how we can make a sort of weekend of it. So the tickets have been selling fast. You know, it's probably the biggest game in the history for them, and for them to pay the money and to come down, and I'm sure they'll have a fantastic day no matter what happens.
How big is this for you? Because it really surprised. I think I'm right in saying, I went through some of your career stats this morning. You've never been against Ipswich Town, have you? I've never played against Ipswich, is that right? At Portman Road?
I played for Sheffield Wednesday at Ipswich, I believe.
Did you?
I think when I went, yeah, and I think it was a 0-0 draw.
I must have missed that one.
Yeah, I've been back once on the opposition side. So it's going to be a bit different, obviously, with us being in the dugout and watching from the side. I'd much prefer to be on the pitch. But no, it's, Sheffield Wednesday, I think I went with, and we drew 0-0.
Okay, I must have missed that one, but I expected to go through that and see that you'd been back 4 or 5 times with all the clubs that you played with, because you were kind of at clubs in and around Ipswich all that time. I expected there to be to be a lot more. You've not considered putting the boots on, have you? It's not that long. It's not that long ago that you hung them up, was it?
Well, I did say to Jamie, I said, if you're struggling for the bench, you know, there's 9 subs in the FA Cup. I said, you can get me registered if you want. I'll get the boots on, but I think we'll be fine. You know, we've also got some young lads in the academy who will enjoy the day as well and come down, and one or two will probably be involved in the bench, which will be brilliant for them.
I hoped you were going to say he'd taken you up on your offer. That would have been great. That would have been great.
Well, he didn't say yes, so I'm presuming it's a no. So he quickly moved on to a different subject, so I took that as a no.
Fair enough. What can you tell us about Buxton as a club? Obviously, 18th in National League North at the moment. As you say, this is probably one of the biggest games, if not the biggest game in their history. But what kind of club is it? What kind of feel has this club got about it?
Yeah, it's obviously ambitious. It's progressive. The team were promoted last season from obviously the league below. It does things properly. You know, the chairman's invested a lot of money in the club over the years, and he wants to obviously keep pushing them on. The manager's coming in the summer. Obviously, he's brought myself as well. So there's been a large sort of turnover in players as well. We didn't start the season great. We sort of stuttered, and then obviously we had a bit of a run, and then the last few games were disappointing. We still got a couple of games in hand. So if you win them, you soon start climbing the table. But like I say, it's a club that wants to go in the right direction, and the chairman, as I've mentioned, has put a lot of time and effort and money into the club. So it's a rewarding for him and for all the people who's helped on Sunday to get this draw.
Yeah, nobody really knows where this game is being televised, but we're assured it is being shown on TV somewhere in the world. But that, whatever that money is, must be really helpful to a club like Buxton, as well as some decent gate money, I would imagine, from an Ipswich crowd. But I don't know, maybe 10,000 crowd at Portman Road, you might think, for an FA Cup game, 8 or 10, something like that. That's gonna help, isn't it?
It is, you know, and I think if it was the Saturday afternoon, we possibly might have gotten a few more through the door, through the gate. But listen, the more the merrier. Obviously, it all helps. Especially for a club like ourselves, we part-time. You know, we've got a good mix of players. You know, we have got lads who've played higher in the Football League, and we've got lads who've been released from academies who are sort of trying to get back up on the ladder and try to get back into the full-time game, which hopefully we can help them along the way. So it's a game really for them. There's no pressure. They've got to go out there and enjoy it and give it their lot. You know, see how far away they are from the likes of, you know, Sam Morsey or whatever team Ipswich put out. You know, they've got some very good players, and go and test yourself against them and see how far short you are, or even on the day you could match them. So that's the challenge for them.
Yeah, it's looking down the squad, there are a few names in there that Ipswich fans might recognise. Harry Bunn is one in there. He's started at Man City, I think, but had a long spell with Huddersfield. And Serhat Tazdemir as well, I think was at Peterborough during Ipswich's battles with them over the years. And there's I've just looked at the list, and the one that interests me is your number 9, Diego De Girolamo. And that I think he's from Sheffield, isn't he? But also something like that. It's not quite the Roman god, but names like that always jump off the page. What can you tell us about some of your players?
Yeah, like I said earlier, we've got a good mix. You know, we've got good experience, and we've also got some good young lads in there. There's a few who's played high. Sean Brisley's played for Notts County, Wrexham. Sean Newton's played for York City, Wrexham as well. Harry Bunn, as you touched on, he's played for Huddersfield. He started at Manchester City. And then we sort of got Scott Borden, experienced striker. He sort of played at the lower levels, Chesterfield. He was at York City last season. And then we've got some younger ones, Connor Kirby, who was released from Sheffield Wednesday, went into Halifax, suffered a bad leg break when he was at Harrogate. So there's a good mix. Warren Clark, who plays on the left-hand side, got a lot of pace. He was at Sheffield Wednesday and got released. So, as I said earlier, there's lads there who have been in a pro clubs, and at different stages in the career. There's a few who are maybe sort of coming towards the end, you know, maybe got another 1-2 years left, and then there's other lads who are trying to make a name for themselves and trying to sort of push on with Buxton and hopefully get noticed. If it's not with Buxton going up the league, then they can move on to a full-time outfit and try and get back into the Football League.
Mm. If you're talking about players trying to make a name for themselves, there's no better time for them to do it than this game, is there?
Absolutely. You know, this is what the FA Cup's all about. It's a fantastic cup competition, and certainly for the lower league teams, you know, there's always one team that sort of gets into the first round, second round, third round even. And Buxton have obviously done very well to get where we are so far. And like I say, we'll go there Sunday, enjoy the day and see where it takes us.
Mm. How are you enjoying your time with the club? You were spending more previously in a similar role. How are you enjoying your coaching journey so far?
Yeah, I am enjoying it. I mean, it's not ideal in terms of location. It's 2.5 hours away from me, so it's 2.5 hours there on a Tuesday and a Thursday night, but I'm committed and I enjoyed it. It's a good club, there's some good people there. Yeah, before that I was at Spennymoor Town for 6 years as assistant manager, then as a manager, and it ended a little bit disappointingly there, which I won't go into too much, but there was a few factors behind the scenes which I wasn't happy about, and we started the season very well, then had a bit of a bad run, and they decided to sort of make change, and it hasn't exactly gone according to plan for them. So you move on, and then there was a few options along the way where sort of people are ringing you saying, well, if he gets the sack, you might get in there, or if I get that job, I'll take you with you. And then Jamie rang me, knew he'd just gone in, he'd left Chorley, and he said, will you come in and help me out? And I sort of went down and had a talk to him, and I said, yeah, absolutely. And I've gone in and I've enjoyed it so far.
Mm. Is Jamie someone you've kind of crossed paths with over the years, or was he someone you got to know when you were at Spennymoor? How did that relationship come about?
Yeah, just from the Spennymoor days. We used to play against his teams, and he actually beat us in the playoff final 1 year to get to the National League. So he's respectable, you know. He's done a fantastic job at Chorley over the past sort of, I don't know, 5 years or so. They've always been there or thereabouts in the National League North. And like I say, he got the team promoted against Spennymoor, winning on penalties. So he's ambitious. He's also a head teacher as well. So sometimes it's difficult to juggle the both. You know, he's quite busy with that as well. But he's up and coming, and he knows his stuff. So it's good to work with him.
Yeah, just kind of speaking to you over the years, coaching and management is something you've always spoke about. Is that something you're still heavily kind of pursuing and looking to progress in yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think all the clubs I've worked at has been part-time, and I did have a sort of a chance, I think it was about 4 years ago, to go to a full-time club, which was FC Halifax. I decided to sort of stay loyal a little bit to Spennymoor Town and stayed there. But I should have known, maybe loyalty in football doesn't get you anywhere, because I ended up leaving Spennymoor eventually. And you look at things like that, and maybe should or I shouldn't. I think at the time it was the right decision for myself. And so I'm just looking for another opportunity, whether that's with Buxton further down the line. But I'd love to be full-time. I think that's the aim, that's the ambition. I want to work on a day-to-day basis at a football club. It's very difficult on a part-time basis, especially when, our league has 5-6 full-time teams in it. So you feel like you're up against it from the off, really, before you play these teams, because obviously they prepare, they plan, they have a lot more time with the players, whereas we get 2 hours on a Tuesday, if that, and 2 hours on a Thursday. Lads have work, they have jobs, they're probably finishing work, coming to us training. So it does have a factor, certainly, and full-time is certainly what I'd like to get into, and hopefully given an opportunity soon.
I hope so. There's always been this tantalising prospect, Tommy, of, you've mentioned it and he's mentioned it. You and Pablo Cunhago, good friends going back to the Ipswich days. You've always little comments here and there about hoping to work together one day. Do you think that could ever happen?
Yeah, I think so. I speak to Pablo a lot. He's obviously, he was a fantastic player and a great guy. I also speak to Shefky Cucullo, who's desperate to be given an opportunity at a club in England. He's, you know, he's trying and trying and trying, and hopefully he'll be successful one day to be given that chance. But going back to Pablo, yeah, we speak a lot. He sort of sees the game as how I see it, and you never know, one day, if given a chance and given an opportunity, then we could work together, certainly.
That mean you going over to Spain if Pablo got going with something in Spain, or would that be in England? What have you kind of spoken about?
I think Pablo would like to come to England, but if it is in Spain, then I would be open to it, certainly. I would go anywhere just to be given a chance at a full-time club and to sort of showcase my ability and my coaching skills and my sort of leadership and management, then I'd be open to it, to go anywhere, really, to be given a chance.
Yeah. Who have you been your kind of big influences in coaching and management? You've had some really good ones over the years, so you must have picked up an awful lot along the way.
You do. You pick up different things along the way. I mean, I've played for some very good managers and some that I sort of, I wouldn't say disliked, but some of them maybe didn't get on as much as well, and that's probably because of either not playing or I wasn't playing in my preferred position. I played for some great managers. George Burley, who first signed me, was fantastic for my career. Then obviously Joe Royal, because of the good times we had, we were so close in that team. But from a personal point of view, I just enjoyed playing under Joe because he gave me freedom and he could let me get on with sort of show me my ability and show me talent. You give me freedom. But towards the end of my career, what I will say is I played under Paolo Di Canio, and listen, as much as he was crazy and mental and mad, and you hear all the stories, yes, man management sort of let him down on certain occasions, but in terms of a coach and his ideas and the way he wanted to play the game, he was brilliant. And I thought I'd seen it all in football, and I was 32, I think, when I signed for Swindon, and he took it to a different level, and I really enjoyed my time working under Paolo. You've obviously got Jim McGilton, who's a good friend, and another one who's sort of looking to get back in the game, and certainly over in England, who I speak to. Jim was great, you know, again, fiery, but that's how he played. You know, he was, it's the passion. You see it when you sort of change over, you know, you're a player and you're sort of a bit selfish, you look after yourself. But when you're a manager and a coach, then you're taking everybody on board and you see what it means. And I think Jim showed it more than anyone, how much it means to sort of win a game of football and to be a manager. So there's loads of different ones along the way. And you pick up little bits and then you have your own ideas. So hopefully we'll see what can happen in the future.
Yeah, Swindon Town and Paolo Di Canio is where you and I actually first met each other many years ago, wasn't it? And he was something else. He was that was the kind of the first football manager, first football club I covered in a job like this. And I don't know if I was quite prepared for him at that point. He was definitely something else, wasn't he? How many days was it that you did straight without having a single day off at the start?
It was
2 months,
crazy.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was more than that. I think it was in the 70s, I think. I remember meeting him and he just sort of said, listen, there's no days off here. And I sort of looked at him as if to think, well, surely you'll get a day off. And whatever it was, 70-odd days, I can't remember the exact number. And he was right. I think the day off was travelling back from Italy, I think, from pre-season. So it was pretty rough, tough. But what I will say is, even though a lot of the stuff at the time, a lot of players questioned it, why are we doing this and why are we doing that? What you do realise is when you sort of leave there or you're not attached there anymore, you're thinking everything he said was right. You know, he was doing it for the benefit of you. And there's a lot of lads who went on to better things. I mean, there's Matt Ritchie, went on to Newcastle United eventually and performed in the Premier League. Aidan Flint, you know, there's a few others as well who sort of, and they'll say maybe at the time some of the stuff they didn't agree with, but they'll look back and think absolutely he was a big part in their career.
I can't imagine you'd have taken too many man management tips from him maybe over the years. You have to be a special kind of person to work with people in the way that he did.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you've got to be mentally strong because he could sort of destroy you. You know, you have to be tough. And that's what did let him down. And that's probably one of the reasons why he's not in football now or hasn't been given another opportunity. I knew that when he went to Sunderland, that if he didn't change, I think there's obviously bigger egos at Sunderland. There's lads on a lot more money than what they were on at Swindon. And you've got to sort of tone it down a little bit. But Paolo being Paolo, I suppose he can't change. And that's probably why he's, like I said, he's still probably not back in the game or chairman maybe he's reluctant to give him a chance.
There's plenty of stories we probably could discuss now, maybe about him. Maybe we'll save them for another time. But this chat's about Buxton. But I don't know if you'll appreciate me bringing this up or not. But you replaced Paolo Di Canio briefly, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
You and Darren. I can remember that game, the first game that you had as caretaker after he quit with Darren Ward,
Yeah.
very, 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 very vividly.
Yeah, we did, and that was my first sort of experience really in managing, coaching. It came out of the blue. You know, we were riding high in the league and doing very well. And then there was a few off the field problems which Paolo was dealing with. There was a new ownership of the club, and Paolo was wanting extra players in to sort of help us sort of stay where we were in the league and to push us on. And I think then players weren't agreed to, and then I think Paolo obviously sort of stuck to his principles and stuck to how he was and sort of went, well, I'll leave. And it all got a bit messy towards the end. And then me and Darren Ward were asked to sort of take charge, and we were both still in the team. So we were sort of, yes, we'll take charge for a couple of games, but ideally you need to get someone in to run the team because we still want to play, we still fit and feel like we can still offer something on the field. And it was hard being both player managers. Again, looking back, you might think, well, one of us should have maybe stepped out and sort of dealt with it from the sidelines, but at that time we wanted to play.
I think you both, thinking about that team, you both needed to play. You were the kind of the senior core of that team. But I do have a vivid memory of people kind of looking to the bench and there being nobody there because during the game the two managers were on the pitch.
Yeah, it was
that
tough.
must have prepared you for this, like in a certain way.
I mean, I always said, I think once I started getting over 30, then I started looking at doing my coaching badges, and you're always thinking about what you're going to do at the end of the season or when you finish playing, and you think probably you'll get straight in somewhere, and it's tough, you know, unless you're given an opportunity, probably where you finish, then going away, and then there's obviously other people in the same boat as well. It's quite a tough industry out there, you know, when you finish playing, there's lots of people sort of looking for that one job and to get that management job or coaching job, and a lot of it is who you know. You know, if you know someone at a club, then they might get you in somewhere, and it's you just sort of bide your time and see what comes. But hopefully, that's the ambition, certainly for myself. You know, to get back into a full-time environment and work from there.
I'm sure there are lots of people at Ipswich that would love to see that happen for you. And there'll be lots of people at Ipswich that are really happy to see you again this weekend. They'll obviously be hoping you go home disappointed, but they'll be ha happy to see. But what does Ipswich Town mean to you? It was obviously a massive part of your life in three separate spells along the way, and so many Ipswich players just look back at their time at the club really fondly, and I imagine you're one of them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I came down for the Friday night game, I came down nice and early. You know, I was down, I think, Friday dinner time, and I went and had a drive around a few of the places I used to live, and it just felt like going back home, if I'm honest with you, and that's after being 9 years away. You know, I had a little wander around Woodbridge, and there's still some of the same places and the things to do, and it's a lovely place. You know, it's a special place, and it gave me a great career, really. You know, the times I had there, yes, there's regrets in terms of not getting promoted, and that'll always stay with me. But the good times we had on the pitch, the sort of good connection we had, and I think the fans as well. You know, it's a special club. I know people do say, oh, you know, other clubs are special as well, but Ipswich really is. It's a family club. You know, the supporters, they all come together. I remember when the club sort of went into administration, and that was a tough time, but the fans stuck with it. Everyone stuck together, and I had some really good times. And it's like I said, it felt like home when I went back after 9 years being away.
How are you expecting to feel when you're coming out the tunnel onto the touchline?
Yeah, it'll be surreal. You know, it'll be strange, but it'll be a sense of great to be back. You know, great to walk out of that tunnel again, and albeit I'll be standing on the sidelines and wish I was playing, but it'll be fantastic to see the crowd and to see the fans and to see the stadium and the pitch as well, which is obviously a fantastic playing surface, and the penalty spots, not forgetting.
Yeah, have you been working? Have the lads been working on their penalties? Have you done some extra sessions? Obviously, you'd need to get a replay and to the end of that for a shootout. But if you get one in the game, have you been working with the boys?
No, not particularly. We didn't really practice them. I mean, I never practiced them as a player, and we haven't really practiced them as a team. But I mean, if we were to get a replay, which is obviously a big if, then I'm sure we'll have a look at it for the replay if need be.
You never practiced them at all? Did you? You never practiced them.
No, never practiced them. Very, very. There might have been one or two occasions over the years, but never ever stayed back after training and sort of put a goalkeeper in and practice, and it was just sort of on the day, and I knew that if I could get good connection on the ball, that's 9 times out of 10, or certainly at Ipswich, 10 times out of 10, it was going to go in. So, yeah.
Well, we'll beware the Buxton penalty takers if they do get one. Hopefully, they'll follow the Miller method, and they'll be all right. Thank you for your time, Tommy. Thank you so much, and best of luck at the weekend. Best of luck at the weekend.
Thank you very much. Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
Bye, mate. Bye.
Okay, that's Tommy Miller there. He was a good player, wasn't he, Mike? Ross, Ross, you might have sort of his second spell for you, Ross. Mike, you'll remember the first particularly well as well. He was great to watch, wasn't he?
He's a fine player, Tommy Miller, and sort of unsung hero type player, really. You know, all the sort of all the players Ipswich have had in the midfield over the years, some of the, you know, flash stars and the skills and Tommy was just a solid player. You know, of course, penalty taker extraordinaire, but I mean, he was just a fine player. The sort of player you'd like to support a player who, you know, when you pay your money, you go through a turnstiles. If Tommy Miller's on the team sheet, you know, you're going to get 100% off Tommy, and he never let us down. So good memories of Tommy Miller. Good, fine player. And it'd be nice to see him. And it'd be nice to see him back at Port Road, in an odd position of the dugout, obviously, Roscoe. But no doubt you get a picture of him, I suppose, with your wide-angled lens.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I love Tommy. He was one of my first favourite players. I saw him, you know, briefly in his journey first spell, but I was very young. And, you know, he was a proper goal-scoring midfielder, which in the 2010s, that's what we were crying out for. Because, yeah, I know most of them were penalties, but, you know, you got to step up, you got to score them. But yeah, he was a really good player. I loved his celebrations as well. You know, his partnership with Cucci and Bent and Canago as well. But yeah, it's going to be good to see him back. I know he was back recently, you know, for the Derby game. But yeah, it's going to be a weird feeling seeing him on the touchline. You know, normally when you take... But we were saying this before, you know, it's become a regular thing where we see former players we've seen play now actually on the touchline as a manager, as a coach. And it's going to happen more often, I'm sure, definitely for Town players. But yeah, good old Tommy. You know, fans' favourite and a nice bloke as well.
It's a sign that you're getting old, Ross, I'm afraid. It's when you start seeing sons of people that you've watched. That's when, Mike, have you seen a grandson yet?
Well, it's funny to say, I'm just telling I knew you'd ask. You knew you'd ask me that, Andrew. That's what I'm going to call you, Andrew, because it's a deliberately loaded question, which you know very well. I can't think of the answer to, but I probably have. There probably is a grandson out there. I probably did see the granddad of a grandson now playing. I'll have to rack my brains and think. I'm not quite that old, Andrew, I don't think. But
seeing Brennan Johnson playing at the World Cup as. The son of David Johnson, obviously. Seeing him at a World Cup has aged me a little bit. Seeing the son of a player that I looked up to it when I was a young man. But Buxton at home, National League North, 18th. They've been in pretty dire form since this draw came out. to play Ipswich, and Tommy joked that they might have been looking a little bit ahead too much and have maybe lost their concentration a little bit. But this is a massive day out for them, isn't it? But ultimately a game that Ipswich really, really should be winning. Obviously, we've had this funny week where there's been the Papa John's Trophy and then the FA Cup, and the Papa John's Trophy is the lesser competition by some distance to the FA Cup, I'm sure, in terms of what Ipswich want to do in it. But at the same time, the opposition they played on Tuesday night against Portsmouth is so much greater than, in theory, the one that they should face on Sunday. So it's going to be an interesting tie, but one Ipswich surely have to win, isn't it?
Yes, cool. I mean, gosh, they really should win, and they should win fairly comfortably. Buxton will give it their eyes. Tommy's probably absolutely right. Since the draw was made, I mean, the Buxton players have probably thought, wow, what a great draw. I mean, it's a really good draw for Buxton. You know, I mean, I don't know what the crowd will be. Probably won't be huge, unfortunately, for them. But it's a League One side away from home. They probably prefer, obviously, Ipswich at home. That would have been nicer for them, because that probably resulted in a little bit of better TV deal than the one they're actually going to get wherever it's being shown at 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. But this would probably have been a BBC one if it had been at Buxton. But look, yeah, Ipswich Town, it couldn't have come at a better time, really, for Ipswich with their injuries and the opportunity to rest a few players. Perhaps Morsey might have a break. He's played a lot recently. Look, Bucks are going to come and give it their all. Don't take them for granted. Don't think they're going to lay down and die, because they won't. They're going to give it absolutely everything. It's going to be a beautiful pitch for them to play on. They're going to absolutely lap it up. I feel so sorry for the Buxton fans who've got this ridiculous kickoff time to have to put up with, but I'm sure they'll still come in their numbers. But gosh. Look, losing to Portsmouth in the Papa John's, we could just about stomach, you know, I mean, for lots of reasons, but you're not going to be too happy if you lose to Buxton in the FA Cup, injuries or no injuries, or whatever priorities are, what priorities aren't. This FA Cup, we don't expect to win the FA Cup, but Ipswich Town should beat Buxton, Ross, I would have thought.
You hope so. You know, there's cup shocks, and you always look forward to it. And, you know, I remember we were speaking a few weeks back, you know, when we played Bracknell, we like to actually be there and experience one of those FA Cup, you know, non-league versus, you know, David versus Goliath. This is a very different one, because we're at Portland Road this time around. 5 p.m. kickoff. We already talked about it already. That is ridiculous. That's when you should be having your roast dinner and chilling at home and with the family. But it is what it is. For the overseas fans, they can watch it. Buxton versus Ipswich Town, the second round of the FA Cup. But it's an opportunity, boys. Third round, draw time, hopefully. We haven't been able to do that in League One, have we? You know, this is our fourth time we've entered in the first round. We've got through to the second round. This is the best opportunity. But Buxton, going to be a great day out for them. I'm sure they'll remember that. Loads of those players playing at Portland Road probably for the first time. Should be a good day overall.
Mike, you pulled a face when Ross suggested that 5 o'clock on a Sunday is roast dinner time.
Well, yeah, I mean, who has a roast dinner at 5 o'clock on a Sunday? I mean, don't get me wrong, either. Well, you have it in the pub at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, surely, or 2 o'clock. I mean, you might stretch to 4 o'clock if you're, but you start to get to 5 o'clock. I mean, that's really when your fondant fancies come out, isn't it? I mean, quite frankly, I mean, for me it is anyway. I mean, you know, and a little cake stand with a pot of English Girl Grey. I mean, that's Sunday sort of late tea. You know, your big old Sunday lunches should already be down. Well, you're probably with a few pints of Old and Filthy, which I know you drink, Ross. I mean, you're probably sort of half asleep come 5 o'clock Sunday on most Sunday afternoons. This is probably what's annoying you, isn't it? Let's be honest. By this time, usually on a Sunday at five, what are you doing?
To be fair, because I cover the women's team, normally Sundays is my covering women's football, so, and they normally finish about half four. So that is why I'm having my roasting at five, because that's when I've done all my work. If I've normally got a Sunday off, yeah, I'm probably asleep by five, definitely in the winter month, because I want to cuddle up. And you know, near the fire and watch a good movie or two, and of course had probably a cheeky pint here and there.
Ross, have you got a fire in your upstairs flat?
No. Just TV, mate, put on a TV.
Imagine you with an open fire in your flat. Oh, good grief.
Yeah. Well, technically it's called a coach house, so it is technically a house, but it's all on one floor. And I've got a garage. So
what do you put in there? Because you don't put a car in there.
No, just a tumble dryer and then just boxes and, you know, yeah, just stuff. It was going to be a gym during lockdown. I set up as a gym. And yeah, probably used it a few weeks and I just got bored. So it's just, yeah, just collecting dust now and spiders, some big spiders in there, boys. So if you're scared of spiders, watch out.
I bet you put your, you bet your football programs in there, aren't they?
Yeah, actually, to be fair, from the last two seasons, and as you wouldn't be surprised, I've got an Adidas box basically from my Adidas trainers, and I've got loads, just piles and piles of programs in there. So if anybody wants some programs, let me know because you can have them.
You do have to battle the spiders though.
Yeah.
You got an Adidas box, quote.
Or you know the where you get your shoe, you know, shoes. It's basically a shoe box, but it's, of course, it's Adidas, so it's branded Adidas. So
how many programs you get in there?
You get a good 10, probably.
10?
10.
But there's loads of boxes. There's like loads. Oh, right. So you've got
loads of trainers.
Yeah.
Just hundreds of spider-filled boxes, each with 10 programs in.
Yeah.
Anybody want them? Ross, you can just have them, Ross said.
Yeah, you can have them. Let me know. I'll send them to you.
Oh, those poor spiders, they could be moving anywhere. They've settled into your little garage and then some bloke comes and picks them up and takes them back to Saxmundham and they've had to move. Anyone in particular you're looking forward to seeing against Buxton? Guys, Ahadmay for me. Finally unleashed. I imagine he probably will start this game. It's taken a long time for him to get his Ipswich career going, but I'm looking forward to seeing him.
I agree with you, Andy, and I think I'd like to hope he'll start, to be honest. I must be honest. And I think he'll be bang up for it, to be honest. I think he'll be just the sort of player you want, because he's quite a physical player, isn't he? He looks quite well. The little we've seen of him, he'll put himself about a little bit. And I think he'll be so desperate to do well, that I hope he's fit to start and given that chance. I'm looking forward to him having hopefully a full 90. I think he deserves it if he's fit.
I reckon that'll be a stretch to get a full. Nobody gets a full 90 these days. But it'd be a stretch to get him that. But him and Kyle Edwards will play, I imagine. He was suspended on Tuesday night, so he'll get a chance. And those are players that you'd think could do the job for Ipswich against a non-league side, shouldn't they?
I think Burns might start as well, to be honest. Which I think when you start talking like that, Edwards, Burns, you know, that sort of pace is going to frighten non-league players. That sort of skill and pace is going to frighten non-league players a bit. To be honest, I've known a bit about non-league. Non-league players are very fit and strong and pacey in a lot of areas. But I think the likes of Burns and Evans should have too much for that level of defence, really.
Yeah, there are others too. Like, I imagine Keogh will play again, which is the kind of figure that you want in these games. Vincent Young should play again. Cameron Burgess came off the bench on Tuesday. I imagine he might start. I'd hope for some more minutes for Lee. Maybe Leif Davis might get a few and they could share duties a little bit more in this one. But I'd also like to see Xander Saziba get a start in this. If we're talking about Town's sort of final third being the area they're lacking in numbers, Saziba came off the bench for Harness against Portsmouth. And every time I've seen him, I've been impressed with him. His touch is good. His movement is decent, and he looks to do something positive with the ball every time he gets it. So I wouldn't be against seeing him start for the senior side again.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I've been impressed by him. As I said, I've seen him play on the 23s football, and he's always been sort of one of those standouts. And he's played a few Papa John's Trophy games, as you mentioned. He had a good 60 minutes, on Tuesday. And yeah, it'd be nice to see him in the FA Cup. You know, we saw a few people come off the bench against Bracknell, didn't we? You know, Barjay and who else? The Bababu.
Jared Boebo.
That one. He as well. He came on as well, didn't he? But yeah, it's an opportunity for those players. You know, so and would you start him? Would you start him in this game, maybe?
Saziba, yeah.
I thought
Saziba, what I liked about him most on Tuesday night is he looked physically capable. That's why he was getting. He got a bit of a battering. On the end of a few hefty old Portsmouth challenges, and he didn't bat an eyelid. There's a couple of times I wish he'd shot or did something a little bit more. But being a young player, he's not going to do that. He's going to try and keep the ball moving and do the right thing and keep the ball on the ground and not suddenly let fly from 20 yards. But I was impressed with him, and I'm always impressed with players who at that age can look physically capable of coping, because that's very much part of the battle when you're a young player.
just glancing over at my TV in here at the moment, and it appears that Japan have come from 1-0 down to go 2-1 up against Germany.
Well, what are we sitting here doing this for then? We could be watching the football. I've turned mine off.
Well, I've kept mine on, and I've been glancing at it occasionally.
I missed both the Saudi Arabia goals yesterday because I had to go up and get out somewhere for half an hour. I only went to go and get some grapes, Ross. Went to get some grapes. Took me half an hour to get some. By the time I come back, it's 2-1. I was just it's not the same. It's only live once. Who said that? Somebody said that famously.
Sky Sports.
That's the ones, yeah.
You specifically left your house just for grapes.
Yeah, I had some Greek yogurt in the morning and I didn't have any grapes. And I like red grapes, particularly red grapes on my Greek yogurt. I do find that very tasty. And I was a bit disappointed. I had a little go at the wife who just basically stuck two fingers up and walked out to go to work. And that has left me having to go and get my own grapes. So, and when I came back, it was 2-1 to Saudi Arabia, which really did annoy me intensely because you can watch it back, but that's not the same thing, Andrew, is it? And you're now telling me it's Japan 2, Germany 1, and we've missed it all because we're doing this podcast, Ross.
Yeah, it's fine. Good thing nowadays, there is so many replays in it. So I know we now know the score, so you're not going to get that surprise factor. But, you know it's 2-1, but you won't know what goal goes in when. So when you do watch the highlights back, you go, ooh, well, are Japan going to score here? They do, and then blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, just remember that.
Exactly. You might catch the last 5 minutes if we wrap up now. So should we do that? Now's the time to mention our duo of sponsors. Mike, I'd like you just to talk about Ginger Pickle marketing, please, and what that means to you and what the sponsorship means to you, and your new tagline that you've come up for them as a business, because we're so happy to have them on board as our newest sponsor. What does that mean to you, Mike?
Ginger Pickle means a lot to me. Very nice, very good. That's to do with SEO optimization, I believe, which, of course, one of my fortes, if you don't mind me saying. Ipswich Town 0, Portsmouth 2 was in my SEO optimization in my match report yesterday. So Ginger Pickle would have picked up on that and said, yes, good SEO heading, Michael. Is that not correct, Andrew? I mean, I'm talking here as I know what I'm talking about. But yes, if you want your pickle gingered, or is it ginger pickled, then use Ginger Pickle. I mean, they are the people for your SEO. Very important SEO optimization, so I've been told. In this day and age, if you want to be top of Google, Ross, if I Google Ross Halls, I expect to see you top with your fist pump. And so, yeah, Ginger Pickle, excellent sponsors for us. Great to have them on board, Andrew.
I'm just Googling Ross Halls to see what does come up. And you do indeed come up top, Ross. Your LinkedIn page and your Boom. Twitter account. So you're doing a good job. Some weird things come up if you Google Mike Bacon, but we'll move on from that. We're also sponsored by Manscaped, of course, who have been with us for a long time and have been looking after our lower areas for a long time now. And they don't need any further introduction than that. You know what they do. And all this to say is thank you for listening. I think we'll be back with a bit more of a conventional podcast week next week with Mark and Stuart around a bit more as well. And hopefully next time we speak, Ipswich are in the hat for round 3 of the FA Cup.
From true crime to football, Brexit to football, for more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon. crime to football, Brexit to Postal. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.